Hello, and welcome to the Boohoo Group PLC trading update call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question-and-answer session. Today, I'm pleased to present Neil Catto, CFO. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining our peak trading update conference call. Today, we're going to be talking about the 4 months ended 31st of December 2018, and that covers the whole peak trading period. On the call this morning, I'm joined by Carol Kane and Mahmud Kamani, our joint CEOs. I'm going to take you briefly through our trading performance for the period, and then I'll open up the call for any questions you might have for us. So once again, it's been an excellent period of trading for the group, and we've achieved record revenues. At the same time, we delivered an improved gross margin, and we've seen strong cash generation. And all of that was achieved as we've continued to invest in the business to underpin future growth. Our total sales for the four-month period were £328 million, and that was a 44% year-on-year increase, or 43% on a constant currency basis. Yet again, Black Friday was our most successful to date, and we saw exceptional demand over the whole cyber weekend. And that was true for all of the brands in all regions. As a group, we delivered 33% growth in the UK and 60% growth internationally as we grow all of our brands globally. Performance was strong across all of the brands, and the growth represents a significant gain in market share across our markets. So as we've seen in previous periods, the multi-brand strategy is working really well and enabling us to disrupt the online fashion market more effectively than ever. At the brand level, Boohoo generated sales of £164 million, up 15% year on year, which is consistent with the growth that we saw in the first half of the year. That sales growth was accompanied by an increase in gross margin of 150 basis points over the same period of last year. So we're really pleased with how the brand has delivered consistent sales growth and at the same time, a significant increase in gross margin. Pretty Little Things' phenomenal progress has continued, and it generated sales of £144 million, up a fantastic 95% on its sales for the same period last year. And those were also strong comparatives. And it's resonating really well with its target audience across all its focus markets. Nasty Gal continues to build brand awareness both in the US and internationally, and its sales were up 74% to £21 million in the 4 months, which is almost as high as the revenue delivered across the whole of the last financial year. By geography, we've seen strong growth in all regions, particularly the US, which has seen sales increase by 78%, and growth accelerated from the rate that we saw in the second quarter. The rest of Europe region also saw strong growth at 57% year on year, with some great performances in some major European markets, with the rest of the world up at 35%. Year-on-year increase. Group gross margins increased by 170 basis points year-on-year to 54.2%, reflecting brand mix effect, but also a strong underlying operational performance, as we found that our proposition was really relevant to our customers and helped support stronger full price sell-through over the period as a whole. Margins for both Boohoo and PLT were up strongly, with Boohoo up by 150 basis points to 52.2% and PLT up 110 basis points at 56.4%. Nasty Gal's margin was down 90 basis points year on year as we invested into price and proposition to acquire new customers as it made progress in its markets outside of the US with a more promotional strategy. The business remains strongly cash generative, with net cash of £189 million at the end of December. With strong sell-through for all of the brands, we've seen a strong conversion of cash with our negative net working capital cycle, and that's enabled us to continue to invest ahead of the curve in our capital expenditure programs. In terms of guidance for this financial year, after a great peak trading period, we're upgrading our guidance again for this year. We now expect group sales growth to be between 43% and 45%. This is an upgrade from our previous guidance of 38% to 43% that we announced when we last spoke to you at the end of September. In terms of EBITDA, we've continued to make investments in the last 2 months into all of our brands and expect the full year EBITDA margin to be between 9.25% and 9.75%. So all in all, another great set of results that we're extremely proud to present. We're seeing great demand for all of our brands, and with our ongoing investments to improve the customer proposition and our logistics and IT infrastructure, we're well positioned to capitalise on this. The performance over peak has put us in a really strong position as we work through the last 2 months of the year, and we look forward to updating you with our full year results in April. So I'd now like to hand the call back to the operator for any questions you'd like to ask. Thank you.
Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. And if you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will just be a brief pause while any questions are being registered. And our first question comes from the line of Simon Bull from Numis. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, morning all. A couple of questions from myself. Firstly, that level of kind of gross margin strength within this period, was that as you had planned? And if that was better than planned, then where's kind of the additional OPEX gone in to mean that kind of EBITDA expectations are unchanged?
Okay, thanks, Simon. I think when we spoke to you back in September, we said that we were starting to see year-on-year increases in gross margin for Boohoo, and PLT had some extremely strong gross margins. So that was planned to have that firepower that we could use on our promotional activity. But we definitely planned over this peak period to use the promotional spend well and do the right promotions at the right time. And I think you can see from the results that really came through in the gross margin. And as you've seen today, we've upgraded our EBITDA guidance in that we've upgraded the bottom end of the guidance, and the midpoint of the range is still the same, but we are still seeing leverage on costs as we go through the second half of the year, and we're still in the core brands, and we're investing in Nasty Gal, in expanding that overseas for Nasty Gal, which is outside of the US, and we're investing in new territories for new brands, so we're deploying some marketing spend in some of the territories that we've not done before. And so some of those investments are going to come through later on in the year. So what we've wanted to do is be able to invest in marketing and the like all the way through the year so that we're in a good position going into next year. And obviously our guidance reflects that, but obviously it remains to be seen how successful those investments are in the remaining 2 months of the year. And at the moment, we're seeing good momentum at the start of the last 2 months, but obviously it's very early days.
Okay, so it sounds kind of marketing was where kind of the chunk of that went into, and we obviously saw a bit of deleverage come through from marketing in the first half of the year. Would you expect kind of a similar quantum across the second half? I think you've previously spoken to seeing marketing kind of 10% of sales for the full year. Is that there or thereabouts as to where we're still going to end up, do you think?
Yeah, that's there or thereabouts, or just under that 10% level.
Okay, fine. And then kind of second quick question, I just wonder if there was any kind of qualitative comments you might want to give around kind of brand profitability in terms of, you know, is PLT still kind of dilutive at a group level to some extent? I assume Nasty Gal will be, given its kind of very early stage, but I don't know if there's any updates you can give on that.
Just very briefly, qualitatively, PLT is not dilutive at the group level. It's got a strong EBITDA margin as on a par with Boohoo, and then we've got the dilutive elements of Boohoo Man and Nasty Gal, where we're investing quite a lot in marketing there.
Okay, makes sense. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks.
And the next question comes from the line of John Stevenson from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys. A couple of questions from me as well, please. Can you comment on the Sheffield warehouse as how it sort of performed over peak, both in terms of, you know, operationally and, I guess, now how the efficiencies are starting to come through. Just in terms of margin, I wonder if you can give a little bit more detail, a bit of a breakdown. Obviously, I guess there are you know, various moving parts in both directions, dilution from wholesale, the discount side and bought in. If you could maybe give a sort of a breakdown of the constituent parts, that'd be fantastic. And then if you could talk about the campaign into peak, I guess, you know, you brought a lot of stuff ahead of Black Friday, just in terms of how you sort of traded the season and the impact that's had.
Okay, starting with the Sheffield warehouse, I think the best way of describing that is that we completed the move in August, at the end of August, and we've been improving the operational performance since then. So we got through peak there, and the performance has generally been an improving trend, and hopefully will continue to be. On the margin breakdown, you'll see the full breakdown of the margin at the year end by brand and so on. But suffice to say, what we've got is the wholesale businesses are creeping up at a slightly higher growth rate than the rest of the business. So there's a marginal dilution in the margin from wholesale, but not major. But then the retail gross margins have been strongly up year on year for both of the brands. And for Boohoo, that's been around promotional effectiveness. So more effective promotions have been increasing the margin. And then for PLT, it's been largely around lower levels of markdown than last year. So really strong sell-through there and very low levels of markdown. And with Nasty Gal, you've got a mixed impact of the UK business for Nasty Gal growing rapidly. And you've also got that as part of that growth, we've been doing quite a lot of promotional activity, which has been working well.
Okay, brilliant. And just from a sort of trading campaign, how you approach peak this year?
So we as I was saying before on the answer to Simon's question, that we were planning to try and deploy the promotions as effectively as possible, and that's what happened. We were probably earlier to start the Black Friday run-up than we had been in previous years, so I think that helped us through the November period, where we didn't really see a dip in growth like other brands have reported. So that's the only major difference. But we every year we get better at the Black Friday campaigns, if you like, and the market changes a little bit. But Black Friday is really and the Cyber Weekend's really important. So it was just trying to get those promotions as effective as possible over as effective a time scale, and make sure we spread the delivery promise over Black Friday, so we take orders over the peak weekend on a longer delivery promise, so that we make sure we meet the customer's expectations.
Okay, brilliant. Cheers, Neil. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
And the next question comes from the line of Matthew McEachran from N Plus One Singer. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys. Can I just come back to the question on warehousing and distribution, and just maybe ask a more general point, covering off both Sheffield and Burnley? I mean, it sounds like you're delivering operational improvement in Sheffield, and that shouldn't be a surprise. But have there been any unexpected challenges through the period around peak, whether that's relating to attendance or just efficiency of the workforce? I'm thinking in context with just becoming more challenging to find the labour.
There's nothing. You always have those challenges over the peak period where you bring in a lot of labour to cope with seasonal peaks. So there was nothing unexpected there. And what we did expect was the Sheffield operation has gone from nothing to over 1,000 people in the space of a few months, and so we were expecting the efficiency to be lower and then increase, and that's what's been happening. So nothing expected there. Obviously, we've we're always trying to plan ahead with finding the resource. And I think what helped us during this peak period was that we had the two sites drawing on two completely separate pools of labour, and that did make things easier. So we didn't see some of the level of challenges that we would have done if we'd have had both brands in the same site.
Yeah, it's interesting. Thanks for that. And then just a quick comment, if it's possible, on overall returns rates, and specifically, if you can, maybe comment on your experience in the European and German markets now that you're gaining a bit more experience there.
Yeah, I mean, our comments on returns rates are the same, that we've seen the returns rates creeping up over time as we've got more loyal customers, actually, and increasing numbers of Premier for Boohoo and Royalty subscribers for PLT all lead to the returns rate creeping up, but in a healthy way because we've got more customer engagement there. And in the German market, I think we see what everybody else sees, which is extremely high returns rates. And that's built into the proposition in terms of price and so on. And but I think we're seeing exactly what other people have seen, where much higher returns rates and the highest returns rates on the payment types, that where the customer doesn't pay straight away.
So are you happy that, when you talk about having built it into the overall proposition, are you happy that the levers that you're pulling are generating the return that you would, that you need to kind of plough on in that market?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, that's encouraging. Thank you very much, and well done. Cheers.
And the next question comes from the line of Phil Hunt from Investec. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning. Ben Hunt from Investec here. Just a question on the dynamics of your basket sizes. If you've got any comment on the ASP or the frequency or the items in baskets across both the brands, or if you saw any reduction in ASP, maybe as I've reported over this period.
There's not much to say about KPIs now, and you'll obviously see those for the second half at the results, but overall, our ASPs are up a little, and basket sizes is flatter. Depending on the geography, but generally basket values are therefore up. That's kind of the trends that we're seeing at the moment.
Okay, and then just on the sort of deployment of promotional resources or marketing. Was it focused in any particular brand more than the other?
No, it's been focused across the brands.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks, Ben.
And the next question comes from the line of Dan Hooman from Citi. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, morning, guys. A couple of questions from me. First of all, maybe one for Carol. Could you give us any colour on products that you thought sold particularly well, badly over the peak trading period, particularly in the UK? Just interested to see if there's any reason you think that you guys did so well in a market that was obviously struggling, especially through November. Thank you.
Good morning. I think we've traded through the season very well, and Neil's been answering that question around Black Friday, but I think we've had our proposition across all our brands really spot on this autumn season. We've had some fantastic trends. I did touch on them on the last update we did, but the standout has obviously been the animal prints from leopards and zebras and pythons. That's moving into spring, so that's been really, really good. We've done quite a lot around the streetwear trends and athleisure trends, and they've been very strong, and that momentum is obviously very strong now as we go into January as well. We've been launching lots of capsules right across all the brands. We've had our Hayley Baldwin collaboration, which is a party wear collection that we had for Pretty Little Thing. We've had our Emma Louise Connolly collection, which we've done with Nasty Gal. And we've had some great price point collections that have been launched within the Boohoo brand as well, really good colour vehicles. So I don't think it's just a combination of just strong promotional Christmas trading, there has been some excellent product that's performed very, very well within that mix. But the standout in the animal print, it would be your takeaway from that.
Okay, thank you. And then just on your full year guidance for sales, I think it implies Q4 growth of something between 19 and 32%. Appreciate it's a short period, but are there any specific reasons why you're expecting sales to slow down, or are you just being conservative?
There's no specific reasons. I mean, what you've got, January and February are always big discounting periods, particularly in January with the January sales on in the high street, and the comps are there. So it pays to be conservative, sensibly so, I think. So that's what you've got there. I mean, as we sit here today, it's very early in that period, in that 2 month period, but momentum's continuing into the through the last 2 months. But there's no specific reasons there. The only thing I'd point to is PLT's comps have been getting bigger progressively, but they still keep amazing us with the incredible growth they're seeing. And for Boohoo, we had the highest level of discounting in the last 2 months of last year in terms of the lowest gross profit margin. So we've got that to anniversary, but we're obviously in good shape to be doing that.
Okay, thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Andrew Ross from Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning all. I've just got two left. First one's on Australia. Can you remind us how big that is now in the rest of the world? And then maybe just give us a quick update as to how that's trended through peak trading versus last year, and whether you're seeing anything different from a competitive or pricing perspective there. And then second question's following up on one of the warehousing questions from earlier. But can you just remind us as to when automation starts to come into the Burnley site, or full automation, and give us a sense as to the type of unit economic efficiency that's going to give you into fiscal 20 and fiscal 21.
Yeah, so on Australia, we don't break out Australia. I mean, Australia is a relatively small country in the scheme of things, and you know it's obviously not above 10% of our sales. But we've been really pleased with the performance in Australia. We've seen a strong performance throughout the second half of this year, and we've seen a good build-up to that in the first half of the year. So it's been pleasantly surprising us, and that's predominantly the Boohoo brand, but also PLT as well. On automation in Burnley, that is exactly the same. It's on track as we've always spoken about for early next financial year, so no change to that. And we haven't given specific guidance on the operational efficiency that's going to come from that. We know that you get a big operational efficiency on the picking element of our logistics operation, and that will take a while when automation gets implemented to come through, but we'll guide you through that as and when the solution's implemented in early next financial year.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
And the next question comes from the line of David Gardner from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thanks. Just a question on the geographic growth rate. So UK slowed quite significantly in Q3. Can you talk a bit about how much of that was market-driven, and where you see the market growth rate at this point in time? And secondly, on rest of world, what were some of the big drivers in the slowdown of rest of world growth?
What is going
on?
Okay,
I mean, on both of those markets, actually, the UK and the rest of the world, the main factor in the slowdown is really the fact that the numbers in absolute terms are getting higher. And if you look at the market data, the market data that we see, which is never that reliable, but it shows a little bit of a slowdown in the online growth in the market in the UK. And we've not really seen that as such. When you look at the market share that's being taken in that market, us as a group of brands are taking the lion's share of that. Effectively, it's a transfer from the high street to online. So so that's the comment I'd make on that. Rest of the world's fairly consistent growth rates, and within there, within that, you've got for Boohoo Australia, where it's quite established, but has been performing well. So again, what you've got there is the comparatives in absolute terms are just getting slightly bigger or bigger, and therefore the growth rate that we're seeing is consistent with that. And again, we're taking a good amount of market share there. So I think hopefully that answers your question, David.
Yes, thank you.
And just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And the next question comes from the line of Greg Lawless from Shore Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning. Just could you give a bit of colour around the sales growth and in terms of new and repeat customers, just trying to understand the balance there between new and repeat customers orders. Thanks.
So we're seeing good growth in new customers across the group, and we're seeing more loyalty from our existing customers is the overall numbers. You'll start to see that in the KPIs when we publish those at the year end, in terms of the group order frequency. I think we've got for both of the major brands a decent level of take up on the unlimited delivery subscriptions for Premier for Boohoo and Royalty for PLT, and so those are helping that engagement with existing customers. So overall, we've got growth in active customers and growth in spend per customer across the group, and that's why we think the multi-brand strategy is working really well.
Thanks.
And the next question comes from the line of Caroline Gulliver from Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, guys. Most of my questions have been answered, but I just wanted to pick up on something I was hearing from another market participant this morning, which was just to compare the growth rates of Boohoo versus PrettyLittleThing. Obviously, PrettyLittleThing is growing faster at the moment, assuming going to get bigger. You know, it's approaching the size of Boohoo at the moment. Just wondering whether you think your marketing spend is you know, right split between the brands. Do you think you can do more to push to grow Boohoo faster? Just to understand a bit of how you think about how you allocate resources to the two different brands.
I mean, the brands compete on their own rights in the market, and they we allocate capital to those on the basis where we target them with profit margins that are akin to each other at the when they're at the same scale, and so mm-hmm. So that's how we allocate capital in terms of marketing spend. So that means there is obviously the ability where if Boohoo can get a good return on its marketing spend to generate those kind of profit margins, then it has access to that capital, as does PrettyLittleThing. And that's exactly how we allocate the capital in terms of marketing spend across all of the brands. For the younger brands that are more in acquisition mode than the others, then obviously they get leeway in terms of profit margins that are expected to be produced.
Thank you.
And the last question is a follow-up question from Matthew McEachran from N+1 Singer. Please go ahead.
Sorry, guys. Just a quick follow-up. Has there been any change to your strategic thoughts on third-party platforms and marketplaces in context with some of the widely reported challenges they've been facing?
We're not thinking about a change in strategy at this point. So for all the brands, if we think there's an advantage to be gained by selling our products on third-party platforms in terms of increasing the awareness of the brand, whether it be in the UK or overseas markets, then we think there's a place for that. And so to get new eyeballs, new customers, we think it's a valid strategy, but it's not a major part of the business as we sit here today. And that seems to make sense. We've grown the business over the last few years, and we're at the moment pretty happy with the role it's playing. We don't want to also get over reliant on other platforms, because we believe that our brands can be best seen on our own websites.
Yeah, would it be fair to assume then that your own websites' growth from those businesses outperformed your third-party channels?
It does in absolute terms, but in terms of percentage growth, because the third-party business is quite small, it's actually seen higher growth rates marginally than the rest of the business.
Okay. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
And as there are no further questions, I'll hand back to Neil.
Okay, thanks very much for joining, everybody. I think we're really pleased with another set of good results, but we're looking forward to updating you on the final performance for the year in April. So thanks very much. Bye now.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.